Credit Suisse buys time with central bank support. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Shares of the beleaguered bank Credit Suisse are on the rebound after it said it would borrow up to $54 billion from the Swiss central bank. Credit Suisse also said it's taking decisive action to strengthen its finances. It's made headline news around the world.
L'Arabie Saoudite, principal actionnaire de Credit Suisse.
Nada que ver con Credit Suisse.
The flagship Swiss lender tumbled as much as 30%.
Daniel Davis is managing director at Frontline Analysts, and he's a former banking analyst at Credit Suisse in London. He told the BBC how his former employer ended up in this situation.
There's three parts of Credit Suisse. One part of it is just a normal bank in Switzerland. So if you walk down the street in Zurich, you can see a Credit Suisse cash machine. There is the Global Investment Bank, which is the one that hires people up in Canary Wharf, like me when I worked there, that does all manner of trading, capital markets advisory, and investment banking business. And then you have a private bank, which is a bank for very rich people, millionaires and billionaires, and they have their deposits there and they have loads of investments. And that's the bit that's had the trouble, because millionaire and billionaire money is jumpy. Millionaires and billionaires do not like taking risks. The millionaire and billionaire client base basically seems to have just reached the end of their tolerance, and they've been taking money out over the last 6 months at what began to look like an increasing rate.
Ex-Credit Suisse banking analyst Daniel Davis speaking there. European Central Bank policymakers are meeting today to make a decision on whether to raise interest rates, but the decision is now clouded by the turmoil in financial markets. Kaartsen Bredsky is Global Head of Macro Research for ING and previously worked for the Dutch Finance Ministry and the European Commission. He said he expects the ECB to put up interest rates even though the markets are volatile.
It is very hard to tell, because probably 1 or 2 days ago, when the turmoil in the financial markets were only driven by Silicon Valley Bank, I would have said it won't have any impact on the European Central Bank's decision. But now that we're also seeing the European banking market under pressure, it has become a different story. I think that the ECB will ignore it for the time being, and that the ECB will deliver a 50 basis point rate hike, as they pre-announced at the February meeting. But at the same time, they will have to send a message to financial markets that they are monitoring very closely what's going on in financial markets.
And while rate hikes are there to curb inflation, do banks like rate hikes? Can it affect them negatively, especially when there's so much turmoil in the market right now?
Higher interest rates mean that banks can charge higher interest rates on their loans. On the negative side, a higher interest rate can also choke off economic growth. And the final thing, I think that's what we have been seeing with the Silicon Valley Bank, is if banks have been invested strongly in government bonds, higher interest rates meant that these prices of government bonds have been plunging. And then banks, if they were not hedged against this risk, clearly will make a loss.
Kaartsen Bredsky, Global Head of Macro Research for ING. Thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
You're welcome.
In the Netherlands, a farmers' protest party has emerged as the big winner in provincial elections. They determine the makeup of the Dutch Senate. They've been campaigning against the Dutch government's plans to reduce livestock numbers to cut ammonia and nitrogen oxide emissions. Ministers are threatening to force buyouts of the worst polluting farms if they don't comply. So, farmers have taken to the streets to protest. The BBC's Anna Holligan reports.
What you're listening to here is a Dutch farmers' protest. The farmers, about 20 or so, are surrounding the Dutch finance minister, Sigrid Kaag. In the video, Sigrid Kaag is standing with her hands clasped behind her back as a cluster of farmers confront her. D66 MP, Tjeerd de Groot, has been one of the most prominent figures in the nitrogen discussions. You have become synonymous with this idea of the expropriation of some farms. Is mandatory buyout inevitable?
The aim is to be clear to all farmers, which are these heavy polluters in the environment of those areas. So it's 3,000 to tell them, okay, please cooperate on a voluntary base, take these measures which are gold-plated in a way, and use the opportunity to develop your farm somewhere else, to innovate or to stop.
Is it realistic to think of all those 3,000 heavy polluters, they can all continue to farm in some way if they're prepared to adapt or move elsewhere in the Netherlands?
We also have to be realistic about that. For most of them, stopping their activity definitely will be the most viable option. We have a very small country with an enormous number of animals. And the manure and the ammonia has led to a degradation of our nature of 90%.
It's almost like letting go of one of your children.
Janet Mensink runs a dairy farm in the east of the Netherlands. It's on the edge of a European network of protected countryside where certain species of animal in their natural habitats are protected in order to preserve biodiversity.
It makes me sad. How could I choose between the animals? You can stay, you have to go. You can stay, you have to go.
This area has been designated as a place where you have to really cut those nitrogen emissions.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are concerned about it, yeah.
I asked MP Tjeerd de Groot, what would you say to people like Janet about the fact that they may be about to lose everything that they have ever known?
It's certainly very emotional. And farmers have a right to know what their future is. Only thing we know for sure at this moment is that the current economical system where farmers are in only leads to more intensification and to bigger scale. And that causes farmers to stop as well. So we have to change the old agriculture into a more circular agriculture so that farmers who want to continue and aren't unlucky to be in the wrong place have the opportunity to do so.
The BBC's Anna Holligan there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Ali Dalbert-Hansen for producing. Tom Clark on the tech. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And if you want to keep up with the changing Credit Suisse story, you can visit the BBC News website. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.